Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 56. I'm recording this on Derby Day, and I have to go to a First Communion and then to a Derby party. And surprisingly, clothing choices for those two events, when it's 80 degrees in May, they tend to overlap pretty well. So I believe I can wear light green pants to a First Communion. I'm not sure what the Pope says about that, but I think that's okay. So pretty exciting stuff going on today. I was out in New York this week, took a couple days out there to visit a client and a prospect. And it was funny, I showed up and I had these really kind of flamboyant golf outfit on and a crazy wild hat. And I said to one of the guys who's kind of a smart ass that I work with, I said, yeah, I kind of like to wear the asshole clothes a little bit, you know, the thing that when you walk into a backyard barbecue, someone says, you know, who's the guy in the rooster hat? What's his deal? And guy looks at me and he goes, yeah, I used to do that. Then I grew up. I tie that in only because Jay Hilburn's going to be helping me with my clothing. And it's interesting. This guy was looking through the pro shop, and he was just absolutely fascinated picking between the different navy blue and gray shirts. You know, legit excited about one more so than the other. And I guess my problem all along is that I gravitate towards shiny objects. You know, this is probably why I sleep in bunk beds, even though they're smaller every time we go on a guy's trip. I mean, God forbid there was a race car bed, I would be in that. A water bed, any of that stuff. So if I'm at a store and they got, you know, racks of navy blue and gray vests with different country club flags on the front, and then they have one shirt that has clown faces on it, and then skull and crossbones, I can't help myself. It's like my taste buds only taste the spicy stuff. I actually wanted to buy a skull and crossbones. I think it was called G4 or G-Force, but they didn't have an extra large, sad to say. But Jay Hilburn is on the case. They're going to help me. Andy, the stylist, is going to help me. My clothes have not arrived, but it's interesting. This guy said, you know, I'm kind of monochromatic now. You know, I wear a lot of solids. And all I could think was that he was saying to me, I'm kind of boring now. And so I think part of what Andy's challenge with me will be is, how do I dress professional but still have a little bit of flair? And I think the example of this might be a black dress shirt with Kelly green stitching where the buttons go. You know, that is, I think that's a happy medium for, you know, the clown shirt and the navy blue vest. So she's got a tough client on her hands. I'm quite excited to take you on this journey as I try to figure out my style. I came of age at a time when I think, it was kind of this, it was a little bit cheesy when I became professional. It was a little bit like, the most obnoxious sport coat, the you know, you can see these guys kind of congregating with each other and, you know, attaboys. And I'm now trying to be kind of have a little more mystique to it where, you know, let them find it. So if you are a man that needs a closet overhaul, and I need to donate about, I think our next sponsor might be the Salvation Army or the Goodwill, because I got to really unload all the stuff I have in my closet. But if you're on that program, if you're a man with means and you would like to have your own stylist and custom clothing built for you, you should email Andy, A-N-D-I, dot Galvin, G-A-L-V-I-N, at jhilburnpartner.com, J-H-I-L-B-U-R-N, partner.com. So more on that. I think the clothes will come this week if I'm a betting man. And at that point, it gets real in a hurry, Miss Andy. So we'll see how this this plays out. I had my birthday last week. You'll recall I was recording it. I would say I was a good sport on my birthday. One of the things I did, which is very, very unorthodox, is anyone on Facebook that said happy birthday to me, I clicked the like button, I think, or maybe thumbs up. I don't know what it was. But that was my way of saying, even though I don't know who 70% of you are, I appreciate the well-wishing. That's a big step. Like, hey, thank you. That was nice. Nice of you to go out of your way on a social media platform to wish me happy birthday. So I tried to be better, and I think I did a good job. I wasn't real blue on my birthday. I think I did pretty well. I still have this trait, and I know a listener is going to send me an answer to this. I asked this same question last time. I need one of you out there with a minor in psychology. Maybe it's Ellery. She's got a great question this week. Maybe she can pay me back with this. Here's my personality, a deep part of my personality, and probably not an attractive one. When someone gives me a gift, so I have a gift currently from my parents and I haven't opened it yet. I let it sit there. Almost like I want you to give me the gift. I want you to love me, but I'm not going to open it because I don't want you to love me, or I don't even know what it means. I don't think I'm worth loving, so I'm not going to open it. But at the same time, if you don't give me the gift, I kind of keep score on that. I got a little bit of an Irish grudge. If you don't acknowledge, you know, I keep track, but I also kind of find some sort of joy in being, you know, unloved or something. This goes all the way back. I remember I would be on family trips and, you know, you go on vacation, and this will be interesting if my parents listen to this one or my brothers, you would be able to get a souvenir, one souvenir on the trip, usually like a t-shirt. You know, we were in Fort Lauderdale. I remember we were in Fort Lauderdale and I got a Spuds McKenzie t-shirt. I can't remember what my middle brother got, but my youngest brother, you know, those t-shirt shops where they have 1,000 different designs. The t-shirt he bought on spring break was, I Love My Grandma, which is just amazing. He picked that design and we had to wait in there for them to push that onto the shirt. Yeah, I wish I could remember what my middle brother got, but my MO on those trips would be I never really wanted to find my souvenir, and it was a bigger gift to go home and, oh, you know, John didn't get anything, you know, he was left out. Yeah, what is that about? Somebody, why do I want, it looks like I want people, I want to feel sorry for myself, or I don't know, there's something there. I think it's super obvious and simple, but somebody package that up and tell me what that's about. I will open my gift today too, by the way. My wife tried to do a jokey thing with me. And so you'll recall I gave her horrible gifts for her birthday. I went to Stillwater and spent about 3 minutes buying her gemstones and I don't even know, things with loons on them. It was a 0 out of 10. And so I get my gifts and they're all wrapped in newspaper, and I open the first one up and it's a sign. No, the first thing is some paper boats for hot dogs, American flag, paper boats, little containers that you would put chips and hot dogs in. And she says, you know, for your hot dog party. I said, oh, that's cool. Next thing I open is this big, it's a sign, and it says something about freedom. And she looks at me dead in the eye, and she goes, you know, you've been kind of on a freedom kick. So I thought you'd like that. And I remember even thinking like, wow, that's cool that she knows that, you know, freedom is important to me. And I just kind of set it on the wall. The next item was a tequila shot glass that looked like the spring break store from when I was a kid. It had kind of like in different colors. It would be like, you know, lime, you know, tequila, whatever. And then this is the gift I probably should have known something was up. She gave me kind of an oral history of NPR. And I don't listen to NPR or have any affinity to National Public Radio. But when I flipped it over, one of the things on the back was kind of how the All Things Considered podcast got started. And I do like kind of these behind-the-scenes books about The Office and Saturday Night Live. And so I was like, oh, so this would be cool. Like, this is a big podcast and I can kind of learn how they started. And so I was like, good. I'm like, okay, these are my gifts. Like, I got a freedom thing, you know, and then she just looks at me like, are you kidding me right now? That was all bullshit. I went to the dollar store. I was trying to like prove a point, you know, what it feels like to get bad gifts, but like, I didn't even know. It was funny. I did have a moment where I was opening this stuff where I thought to myself, I'm going to do a little joke where I say, well, I can see that, you know, with your leg in a boot, you were only able to cover, you know, a smaller territory when shopping this year. You know, it seems like your aperture was smaller due to these types of gifts I'm getting. But I didn't. And then she gave me the real gifts, which was basically like a couple workout shirts and workout shorts. And the great irony is I don't know what's the bad gifts might have been better. I don't know. They're all nice, but like in a weird way, hot dog boats, freedom sign, shot glass, book about podcasts, maybe beats two pairs of shorts and two pairs of you know, basically workout clothes, because I think your current workout clothes might stink. Hey, here's a birthday question for you. Is there anything worse than getting a gift of clothing on your special day, and then you have to go try it on and hope it fits? Because if it doesn't, it's not the person who gave you the gift's fault. It's somehow your fault. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were skinnier. That's unfortunate. I will make arrangements to get you a bigger size. So actually, one of the things I got was some golf shorts. And I have that moment, like anybody that's extra large will do, where I hold them up right when I get them and just kind of look at her and go, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think this is going to go well. But then it's, you know, that you have to, you got to try them on like right away. Like the tail of the tape is not only happening soon, but it's happening maybe on the morning of your birthday. So like as you start your day, going into your birthday, you're going to either decide if you are the size that your spouse or friend thinks you are, or if you're in fact larger than that. Good news, both pairs of golf shorts fit, but I did want you to know that I'm sure this is why we buy shoes for each other and belts and hats, right? Talking about gifts, I just talked to Corey from the Minnesotan, and boy, is he putting a deal together. This is all about taking care of mom on Mother's Day. We are not going to go to CVS and buy a card. We are not going to go to a gas station and get flowers. I'm not saying that I've ever done that, but I'm sure some people have. So what he's got going is you roll into the Minnesotan and you spend $75 on mom. Technically, you could spend a little less on mom and get something for yourself, but you're also going to get a $20 gift card to Seven Vines Vineyard in Delwood. So she gets a getaway. So you're able to basically say, hey, here's some athleisure clothing. Here's a little fun thing I bought you. And oh, by the way, you might want to check the box because there's a $20 gift card in there for Seven Vines. That's a couple glasses of wine. Take a friend and go over there. So I think that's a wonderful deal. Spend $75 at the Minnesotan or Minnesotan.com. Get something for yourself. Maybe pick up a Go With The Flow item. Grab something for mom and then get that gift card thrown in to head down 96 to Seven Vines Vineyard and get some wine. $20 gift card. Love that deal. Love Corey taking care of our moms on Mother's Day. I was talking about birthdays with my wife, and I wonder, the question was, what are the milestone birthdays? And I think it's kind of random because it's a feel thing, right? So I turned 47. I think 50 is a milestone birthday. I think randomly 65 is more important than 60. And then once you get old, you hammer 70 matters, 75 matters, 80 matters. It feels like 85 doesn't matter. Maybe 90 does, and then it jumps to 100. I'm just saying. I feel that. I don't know. Hey, it's impressive if you live to 85, but for some reason, the 80 and the 90 seem like the milestones, not the 85. I've been a little salty lately, a little grumpy. I don't know why. I found myself watching the movie Gran Torino for the first time last night, and it was just kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm actually like a grumpy guy watching Gran Torino and going to bed at 10 on a Friday. I don't know that that's the road that I want to go on too much, but I was looking in the paper. And the paper didn't come this morning, by the way, so that just added to my Clint Eastwood effect. I could stand in my front yard and shoot the Pioneer Press guy with my finger like it's a gun, because they didn't bring my paper. But it was interesting. I was reading about this Minnesotan, and they described the Minnesotan, the ideal psyche of a Minnesotan. They said, you don't complain. You don't explain. You carry on and get the job done. I think that's literally the opposite of how I'm living my life right now. So apologies to the state of Minnesota, because I am explaining for sure, sometimes complaining, but maybe I'm getting the job done as well. The other thing I noticed was there was a study. They put these people underground, I think in Brazil, and they had no clocks, and I think it was dark. So they had no sense of time, and they were down there for like 25 days, and then when they got out, they had to guess how long they had been down there. They were trying to figure out, how human beings related to the concepts of space and time, if the lights were out, I guess, or you didn't know. And the conclusion of the study was that you learn to profit from the present. And I just loved that phrase. So the whole idea was You just live in the moment, whatever it is. If there's a cool breeze on you in the dark, that's better than the minute before you didn't have that cool breeze. And I think some of these people, they got out of this cave, and I don't think they wanted to even go back. I remember they were saying, some of them, you know, I'm going to take a few days before I turn. Can you imagine turning on your phone? You know, part of what they were doing for these guys is they were helping them. I think they all had to wear like glasses when they came out, so that their eyes would adjust. But can you imagine, you've been underground for 25 days and then you just power up your phone and start scrolling through Instagram, you know, watching, you know, girls dance and hockey players score goals. At least that's what's on my Instagram for some reason. I do want you to know I built something for the podcast. So I think a lot of our listeners like golf. So I went to great lengths to create like my own brand of golf ball. And it's called Breakfast Ball. And it's, all of them have the number 00. They say Breakfast 00. And they have the logo for the Sunday Morning Coming Down podcast on the other side. They're supposed to be decent balls. It's hard to find a brand that will let you not put their name on it. But I want to sell these to listeners. I think $15 for three. I think that's okay. That's not cheap, but it's not so bad because I got to ship them to you. So I'm going to put a picture of these things on the Instagram Sunday Morning Coming Down pod. And so check that out. I'd love to get you guys kind of spread the brand around. I like the idea that you're on the first tee, you spray one right, and it's literally a breakfast ball that you're using from this podcast. It's kind of my personality. I'm not a great golfer, but I love golfing, and I felt like it was a suitable line extension for the podcast. So if you're a golfer and you want to represent, please reach out to me. We can do deals on more as well, maybe you want to try it first. Another thing you need to try is Michelbobs, michelbobs.com. But the main way, so we have a sweetheart deal with Sweet Lou, and Lou's mission in life is to spread barbecue love. And the way he does that is you call 612-360-4378. You can text him. And I love what he said. He said, basically, I got shipping closed down right now. I'm not shipping ribs. You know, it's disabled on the website. But he said, hey, your listeners call me, I'll find a way. Literally the owner of Michelbobs, Championship Ribs, the Cupid of spreading the barbecue love. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get you your order. $195, six racks, three sauces. You can usually talk him into five sauces. You didn't hear that from me. You heard that from Jarrett, the goalie. But call him up. Call Lou. Give him something to do. Give him something to worry about. It's that time of year. We're leaning into Memorial Day. Load up. Make a phone call. You know, when you get these things, they're easy. Ribs haven't been this easy since Adam gave one of his to Eve. Literally 75 taglines for this company, so you know it has to be good. All right, I got a great question this week. I was in New York. I thought I saw this person walking. It wasn't her, but I texted her, and we did a little bit of texting, someone I used to work with, and she sent me a great question, and a pretty unique one.
Hey, King. As you know, last weekend I got engaged, so I have a couple questions that I'm hoping you can help me answer. The first is, what do you wish someone had told you before you got married, and why? And if that wasn't hard enough, the second question is, what do lasting marriages have in common? And the third question I'm hoping you can go deeper on, or maybe this just becomes the only question you look to answer, but it is, what is the best wedding song of all time? So if you could get back to me with the answers to those things, that would be awesome. Looking forward to it.
Wow, that's just a soothing voice, Ellery. She talks so like, she seems so sweet. I guess she is, but she's kind of funny and scrappy, actually. But when you were, if you were just to listen to that voicemail, it's like, oh my gosh, she's just this sweet newly engaged lady, I guess. So what would I tell myself? First thing I would do is tell myself that in 1998, the Broncos are going to win Super Bowl 32, John. As a matter of fact, they're going to win. It's an upset, and they're going to win by the score 31-24. 31 for the Broncos, 24 for the Packers. Super Bowl 32. Don't say I never did anything for you. No, I would tell myself, go on walks. This is the thing that my wife and I probably only discovered. She did it all the time, but I didn't do it until, I don't know, the last few years. And there is no better way to get on the same page with your spouse than to go on a 45-minute or hour and 15-minute walk. As a matter of fact, the fact that her foot is hurt right now, it's been terrible for her mostly, but also just not good, just all around, because you can't have that time together. I would also tell myself to be nicer. So I think sometimes with marriages, it gets so dramatic and so lovey-dovey and romance and everything. But I would just say be nicer. I think if I were to look back, I mean, we've been married a long time, but I could have been so much nicer. There's this scene in, I think Uma Thurman in Beautiful Girls says something like she just wants someone to say goodnight, angel, at the end of every night, and that's all she needs to be happy. And, as a person who might go to bed at 10 after watching Gran Torino without saying goodnight, I think I would say be nicer. I think the metaphor for that, Ellery, would be if I had a photo of Stacy in my wallet, you know, when she was 8, you know, kind of a awkward grade school photo of her with big glasses. And, I think reminding yourself that person is in there. So your guy, just be nicer. And have some rituals to that end, whether it's, I always kiss you goodnight or whatever the case may be. I with the injured leg, I've been setting my wife's pajamas on the pillow and leaving the light on for her, and most of the time filling her water bottle when I go to bed ahead of her. And that sounds so cheesy, but a simple way to say it, Ellery, is if I was gone, if I disappeared tomorrow, what would be the things, the little moments where she would think of me? And I think those things are really just simple things that you can do. And I'm not saying I have done that, but I think I would say be nicer, have habits, have rituals. The old guys I'm around, the advice they would give your husband to be is like, they always say like, it just doesn't matter. Like, let it go. You know, that's kind of a big one as you get older. I don't know if that's really how I look at things. I think, I don't know. I think a little passion is good. I think having arguments that are heated is fine. I don't know that I'm at the let it go as being advice, but you may hear that. I love that you asked three questions, by the way. Maybe that's how you contrast this sort of songbird voicemail, but then you just pound me with like Roman numeral 70 wedding questions. I think the second one was what matters most. This is easy. Sense of humor is number one. God forbid, that you don't think the same thing your fiance thinks is funny. I don't want to be the one to tell you that, but knowing you, I'm sure that that was an attribute you were looking for. So if you laugh at the same things, the fact that Stacy tried to do this deadpan bad gift exchange for my birthday, even though she underestimated that I have no taste and actually liked the bad gifts fine enough. But that kind of effort, that kind of Andy Kaufman is right in my wheelhouse. So we certainly have a similar sense of humor. The other thing I would tell you is kids change everything. So we had kids super young. We were pregnant as we got married. And I would just tell you, the longer you wait, I think the more selfish you can become and the more set in your ways. Because the second you have a kid, all bets are off. Everything changes. I always use this metaphor to explain to guys, young guys having kids. I say, so having kids is like co-owning a fantasy football team. So when I call Taylor, my buddy that we run Team Elvis together, and I talk to him about some tight end that we just picked up, he is super interested. He is so happy I called. He wants to talk about it for 10 minutes. But if I sit and turn to the guy next to me and start talking to him about my imaginary football team and my tight end, he could care less. So when you have kids, you essentially orbit around them together and you become partners. Time speeds up. Any of the petty things that you would be worried about. My first argument with my wife was whether or not butter should be kept in the refrigerator or out. Her family kept it out because it was easy to spread, and apparently there's no reason not to keep it out. My family kept it in the fridge. This was a big argument. And I tell you, when you have kids, nobody really cares about the butter. So I would say, you know, the best way to give you advice on that is a lot of young people, they think they need to wait. Like, well, we're going to have kids after we have 3 summers of travel. You know, we want to go to 2 more continents. And then once his business has 12 employees, that's when we're ready for kids. And I would just say, you're never ready for kids. Just do it. And it changes everything. Time speeds up. It's wonderful. And then wedding song. This is a great question. My advice would be, you want to have an enduring marriage, and I think wedding songs, in my opinion, should be older. You know, get away from artists that can change or be canceled. You know, you pick an Ed Sheeran song, and a year later, he's got a DWI and blah, blah, blah. I would go back. I think at least 25 years old, you know, so you could even get into something like the song One by U2. It's just a lovely song, and it's more modern, but it's still old and timeless. That's about as close as they got to writing something that John Lennon would have envied. But I think it's songs like Unchained Melody, our from the Righteous Brothers. Our wedding song was Can't Help Falling in Love, Elvis Presley, you know, Fools Rush In. I would look back at, like, you know, The First Time I Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack or John Prine or George Jones. I think in a way, if the artist has passed, it's kind of nice because it's like an angel on your shoulder. But yeah, I would look back. I struggle a little bit with being too creative with that, like a choreographed dance to some pop song or even like, oh, it's Wagon Wheel, but no, it's not Darius Rucker. It's the old Crow Medicine Show version. Oh, that's awesome. Like, I don't know. I would go back, get an old classic song, you know, Willie Nelson, like something, think of it like a tattoo. If you were going to get a tattoo and you wanted it to last, you got to maybe start with something that already has lasted. So that would be kind of my tip on the wedding song. I believe you want the kind of song that if you heard it with your husband, it would be kind of surprising, you know, like you're walking into a restaurant and it's like that scene in Top Gun when you've lost that loving feeling comes on the jukebox as he's drinking an ice water. I think you don't want your song to be just something that you're going to bump into. It should be kind of special and enduring and older. Talk about enduring and older. I don't know. I guess Will's my age, but Will Anderson Insurance. If you don't know who's doing your insurance, you're making a mistake. Why give that much money every month to a logo, to a flow, to a gecko? Give it to a guy who is going to answer your phone, going to save you money, and going to do good things in our community right here in White Bear Lake. That is Willie Anderson. I work with him. Lots of listeners have switched to him. If you find yourself getting into your spring budget here, you're about to start going to the cabin, you're about to start dealing with jet skis and boat lifts and docks and expensive weekends, up at the cabin, I would encourage you to call Will. He's going to save you some money, and he's also going to help you with all those toys and get you squared away for the summer months. That's Will Anderson Insurance. He's going to take care of you. And as Willie says, as a rule, stupidity is covered. So my drinking story is just really quick. Had a unique experience on my birthday. Sunday fun day. Went to Ziggy's in Stillwater. There's a country artist named Tim Sigler. He plays by himself and he also plays in a band. If he plays in a band, he kind of plays everything, you know, AC/DC. I think kids, they like him in the band. Maybe weddings like him in the band. I like him solo because he does a ton of George Strait. It's so cool. At about 2:55, you just got a stage, a black stool, a black mic stand. This guy rolls in. He's got blue jeans and boots, a black t-shirt, bright white teeth, and a cowboy hat. And he just starts playing. The dude played for 3 hours, no breaks, and the crowd was in a mood. I don't know if this is how the crowd always is. It is a Sunday fun day, but they just kept sending him shots. And I'm not kidding. I think I saw this guy do about 10 to 13 shots in 3 hours and had some drinks as well, to the point that by the end of his set, he went from like the first hour, we were at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. You know, the second hour, we were maybe at Toby Keith's in Chicago. The third hour, we were doing karaoke in Stillwater. Everybody was yelling. But he started to say stuff like at the end of Country Roads, he just says, I hope these country roads have an Uber. But it was the closest I've been to a real life honky tonk. Because he was drunk, he was mixing with the audience, he was playing with us, he came down afterwards and was talking with everybody. It was wild. It was pretty cool. So there is a honky tonk. It's called Ziggy's. It's from 3 to 6 in Stillwater, Minnesota. I hope you're all right out there. Get it.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't.